Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look again at verses 14 to 21 and continue in this lesson that we started last week concerning the marks of a spiritual father. Let's go ahead and read together this text beginning in verse 14. Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? So far in this epistle, last week we talked about this. Paul has described the spiritual leader, even himself, as a servant, as a planter, as a builder, a fellow laborer with God, a slave, if you will, a steward. He's considered himself and talked about himself in all of these aspects. And you know that the reason he is doing this is because of the issue of division that was going on in the church at Corinth, where the church was divided. Some were following this leader, some were following that leader. And so Paul has been describing and showing what is a true spiritual leader, what should they be, how should you consider us, how should you look at us, and he's trying to correct that issue of division in the church. Well, you get to chapter 4, and at the end of chapter 4, Paul is bringing this issue to a close. And Paul has been very stern in rebuking the Corinthian church over this sin of division and of their carnal pride. And so as he's bringing this issue to a close, he tells them why he has been so stern with them. And the reason is because he loves them like a father loves his own children. And the Apostle Paul, he couldn't bear to see this church straying from God's word on a path that would eventually lead to their destruction. And so he brings this correction. And in our text, Paul presents by implication, by pattern, six different characteristics of a faithful spiritual father. And so we started this lesson last week concerning the marks of a spiritual father. Last week we said in verse 14 that a spiritual father is one who admonishes. Verse 14 says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Paul was not being stern in his correction in order to bring shame to this Corinthian church, but his ultimate purpose was to admonish them and to exhort them and to plead with them to repent of their sin, correct their way, and get on the right path. He was trying to reclaim them. His sternness wasn't criticism, but it was a warning. He says, I write these things to warn you. The word warn, we said, means to put in mind. It means to caution, to reprove, to admonish. This warning, its purpose was to bring about a change in their belief, a change in their attitude, a change in their habit, change in lifestyle, change in behavior, whatever way was needed. This warning was, the intent of it was to bring about change. In fact, that word warn, it carries with it, along with that warning, a need to change, lest one incur judgment. And so Paul was admonishing this church, and we made the application that as a spiritual father, one must lovingly bring to light wrong beliefs, wrong behaviors, wrong attitudes, with the purpose of bringing about correction and change. The tool for that was the Word of God. The motive behind it was love. And that was the second mark of a spiritual father is that he loves those people that he ministers to. Verse 14 said, "But as my beloved sons, I warn you." Paul has referred to the Corinthians as brethren several times in this epistle so far. But now he refers to them as his beloved sons, indicating an even more intimate relationship with those people. The word beloved, we said, was the Greek word agapetos, and it means dearly or well-beloved. And it refers to the strongest or the deepest kind of love, much more than just a family type or brotherly love. It's a love that is determined, a love that's willful, a love that has one main purpose of serving the object of that love. And so Paul is using himself here, and by implication, he is giving characteristics of a godly, spiritual father, one who admonishes, one who loves. And then tonight, we're going to look at these next couple of verses, verses 15 through 17. We're going to see two more marks of a spiritual father. Look at verse 15. He says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." The next characteristic, another mark of a spiritual father, is that he begets. Verse 15 said, Paul said, "For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Paul here is illustrating the uniqueness of fatherhood. Now, and he says there, "For though you have 10,000 instructors," and the word "though" basically means if it happened, if you might, whatever. He says, if it were possible, if it were possible for you to have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you don't have many fathers, you only have one. And Paul is illustrating the uniqueness of fatherhood. Just like a natural child, a physical natural child, could have many, many teachers in their life, they still only have one father. And there's a uniqueness and a specialness of being a father that is set apart from other influences in life. You follow what I'm saying here? There's something special about fatherhood that's unique and set apart from all other influences in life. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. The Corinthian people could have had countless tutors or instructors in Jesus Christ, but they only had one spiritual father. And Paul was that spiritual father for most of them, no doubt. And as such, as their spiritual father, they should have listened to him. They should have heeded his influence in their life. Paul is not saying that he is the source of spiritual life here, not at all. But he's simply saying that he's a tool that God has used to bring about life to them as their spiritual father. The word 10,000 here in this verse is the Greek word mouriai, and it means very many. It means innumerable. It's not literal in 10,000. It's just a word that meant innumerable. It could be any number, very many. The word instructor, note it here, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ," that's the Greek word paidagogos, and it means a boy leader. Now, the Corinthians would have understood it this way. That's the definition, a boy leader. But the Corinthians would have understood it as a servant whose office it was to take small children to school. In that day, they would have also been responsible, at least in part, for the basic training, the moral upbringing of a child. They weren't teachers necessarily in a formal sense, but more like helpers. And so Paul says, you know what, you could have 10,000, you could have any number of tutors, instructors, teachers, leaders in Christ, a multitude of spiritual tutors in various sorts and in various kinds, and they all could have been helpful to one degree or another. But he, Paul, was uniquely their spiritual father. That, in and of itself, should have had a powerful impact and influence in the life of that church. Now remember, back to the issue, there's division in the church. Some are this and some are that, and some are following this and some are following that. And they were puffing themselves up in pride and so on. And Paul is stating here, you could have had all kinds of different teachers. All of them could have been helpful in some degree or another. But I'm your spiritual father. I want to make an application here with this. Because a father, by definition, is a man who has children. Amen? He is the agent of God's creating of life. A man can be a man without having children. A husband can be a husband without having children. But a father cannot be a father without having children. The same is true in the spiritual realm. You know, a father can have natural children. A father can adopt children. But he can't be a father without children. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. Unfortunately, many Christians never become spiritual fathers or mothers. They never produce any spiritual offspring. A Christian is one who has been given new life in Jesus Christ. But you know, there's something special about life, and one of the most important characteristics of life is that of reproduction. And yet so many believers have never reproduced believers. Paul left spiritual progeny, if you will, everywhere he visited and everywhere he ministered, everywhere he went. There were numerous churches in the provinces of Galatia. I want you to note with me how he addressed these churches. Look over in Galatians chapter 1. Just like with the church at Corinth, he addresses them and calls them brethren. In Galatians 1 and verse 11, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men." If you get over to chapter 4, again he calls them brethren. In verse 12, he says, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all." But a little bit later on in this chapter, you see the heart of the Apostle Paul, because in verse 19, he doesn't call them brethren anymore. He says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Where's the real heart here? That they are his children. And he says he travails in birth again. His motive and his purpose is to see Christ be formed in them. And it doesn't matter what it costs of him, because he loves them. They're his children. He's gonna do what it takes. Remember Timothy? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. Timothy is a great example. The fact that everywhere Paul went, he had spiritual offspring. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2, he writes and says, "Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." He calls Timothy his own son in the faith. Those words right there, "my own," they mean legitimate. They mean genuine. He says Timothy is a legitimate and my genuine son in the faith. He said the same thing of Titus in Titus chapter 1 in verse 4. Maybe you recall Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave that he led to the Lord while he was in prison. Look at Philemon, the book of Philemon in verse 10. Philemon Philemon in verse 10, he writes and says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And the point is, and we could talk of others, but the point is that everywhere Paul went, he led people to Christ, becoming their spiritual father. Notice in our text that Paul is not claiming to have the power of spiritual procreation, if you will. Note what he says in verse 15. 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 15, Paul says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul's not claiming to have the power of spiritual procreation in and of himself. Paul had been their spiritual father in that he gave them the gospel and helped lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. A sinner is born into God's family through the Word of God, according to John chapter 3 and verse 6, the Spirit of God, according to John 3 and verse 6, and then the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that brings about spiritual life. But God uses human instruments to bring sinners the gospel. And it had been Paul's spiritual travail with these people that had made it possible for there to be a church in Corinth in the first place. Let me make the application. We draw this point to a close. God has chosen to use human agents as His witness. And this is our commission. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. We're commanded in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 19, the Great Commission passage. We're commanded to make disciples. Jesus said to go and teach all nations, making disciples. Jesus commanded to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest in Matthew chapter 9. He's called us to be co-laborers together in His fields. And so, an all-important question arises. When we're talking about this issue, have you been used of God to produce spiritual offspring? Has it been your desire to be used of God in some capacity, in some way, to be instrumental in bringing somebody to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and having their soul saved and their eternity changed because God used you? Has that been your desire? Wouldn't it be wonderful if in 2018 you were an instrument that God uses to bring one new life in Jesus Christ? Don't dismiss it. Don't brush it off. Don't say, oh, we've heard that before. God gives opportunity, friends, to use His people as instruments to bring new life to lost people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God used you in this year to be so instrumental in someone's life that they came to know Jesus Christ? Is that the desire of your heart? God, use me. Lord, have you prayed? Lord, give me someone that I can be a witness to. Lord, that I can have an influence in their life, that you might use me to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hey, is that the heart desire? Have you prayed that way? I'm telling you, as a saint of God, there's nothing greater. There's nothing more fulfilling than our calling of God to be used to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the life of somebody else. Certainly the Lord is the one who brings the harvest. We're planters, we're waterers, but there's also the principle of sowing and reaping. When we sow, there's going to be a harvest. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Are you sowing? Are you asking God to use your influence in the sphere of influence that you have, working at getting the gospel into people's lives? Are you with me here tonight, friends? That God would give glory out of using you as a witness. We ought to pray, Lord, use me. Use me as your mouthpiece. Give me someone that I can lead to Jesus Christ for your glory. We ought to pray that way by faith, but then we need to go about putting feet to that prayer and seeking after souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you been used of the Lord in that regard? Has it been the desire of your heart? Spiritual father is one who begets. Paul said, I've begotten you through the gospel. I'm your spiritual father. And everywhere he went, that's what he did. Go back to our text there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We also find in verses 16 and 17, another mark of a spiritual father is that he sets an example. Verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul says that because I'm your spiritual father, you should follow my example. See the word therefore? Or wherefore, excuse me? He just got done talking about how he's their spiritual father. And so he says, wherefore, because of that, be followers of me. Because I'm your spiritual father, follow my example. What was his example? Well, it was numerous, but earlier in these chapters, he's talked about and demonstrated humility. He's talked about servanthood. And Paul says, follow my example. You know, in the natural realm, when it comes to parents and children and so on, without a good example, a parent's instruction cannot be effective. They're empty words. In the spiritual realm, a spiritual father must set the example for his spiritual children. And Paul, with confidence, but without bragging, he said, be followers of me. He could say that because his intent was to follow Christ. Look at chapter 11 in verse 1. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. This is why he could be confident in saying, follow after me, because he was following Christ. The word follower here in our text is the Greek word mimetes. It's where we get our English word mimic. And it simply means to be an imitator. Paul says, be an imitator of me, of my lifestyle, because I'm your spiritual father. Paul wasn't like the Pharisees, of whom Jesus said, they say to do things, they tell you to do things, but they don't do them themselves. Paul wasn't like that at all. He was consistent in his following of Christ, and therefore he could say, be an imitator of me. An application here really applies not only to the spiritual realm, but also to the physical realm. You know, one of the hardest places to disciple is in the home with our children. And the Lord is penetrating my thick skull with this truth over and over and over again recently. When we disciple those that are outside of our families, they often only see us in ideal situations. where it's easy to be spiritual. It's easy to be mature. But our children, oh, they see us in all of our moods and all of our attitudes and all of our actions. And our children know firsthand if we're living what we say we believe or if we're living what we're trying to teach them. And not just spiritual things either. It could be responses. It could be attitudes towards other people. We could be trying to teach them cleanliness. We could be trying to teach them character. Our kids know if we're living what we're trying to teach them. You know, we say to them, you know, you don't fight with your brother and sister. And what do they hear in response to husband and wife? Right? We try to teach them to be kind and towards one another. But what do they hear sometimes? Mom and dad grumbling about so-and-so because of what they did and what they said, or complaining this and complaining that. Having good character and so on. It applies more than just in the spiritual realm. It applies on all different levels. They know firsthand if we're living what we say we believe or what we're trying to teach them. And if we're not consistent, here it is. Most of our instruction is going to fall on deaf ears. Even if we love them dearly. Because our children are more likely to follow what we do and not what we say. Discipling is more than just teaching right principles. It's also living those principles before the ones being discipled. It applies in the spiritual realm as well. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4 and verse 12. Paul said to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Don't just teach those things. In verse 11, he said, "These things command and teach." But then he said, "Be an example of those things." Live it out in your own life. Go back to our text there. I want you to see verse 17. So Paul says, because I'm your spiritual father, be a follower of me. These principles I've taught, you follow. You mimic them in your own life. And then he says in verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Isn't this interesting? Paul says, follow me. I'm your spiritual father. Follow me. "For this cause I've sent unto you Timothy." For this cause refers to the goal of making the Corinthians imitators of Paul. And Paul was so successful as a discipler that he could entrust some of his discipling to the one he'd already discipled. You follow that? And so, he sends Timothy. What a thought. What an amazing and awesome thought. Paul had done such a thorough job as a spiritual father to Timothy that he could send Timothy to continue discipling the Corinthians on his behalf. But is not this part of the Great Commission? Where Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to teach all nations, but then he said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Some of those all things is to be producing spiritual offspring and discipling. It's the very same thing that Paul's instruction to Timothy was all about in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul said, be followers of me, imitate my life. And for this cause I'm sending you Timothy, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. When we're Christ-like in our lives, those that we disciple and our children will be more likely to become Christ-like themselves. And then, in turn, be able to help others be Christ-like as well. Paul loved Timothy, commended him as a faithful son in the Lord, who would bring back to mind the Christ-like life pattern of Paul to these Corinthians, so that they could imitate it. And the reason he could send Timothy to do that was because it was also a life pattern for Timothy. Amen? What a discipler. What a spiritual father that Paul was, who left behind spiritual children who were discipled themselves and mature themselves, who were in turn leaving behind spiritual children. That's the pattern of the work of the Lord in the New Testament. But may I say, may the same be able to be said of us by God's grace. May God be able to use our lives to not only, number one, bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but then to be an example of the believers and to disciple and to train. So in turn, those people now are out leading other people to Christ and discipling themselves. What a multiplicity that creates in ministry. Let me ask you the question in closing. How's your life pattern, saint of God? Are you an example? Is the Lord using you? Is it in your heart and desire in your heart to be used of God to lead people to Christ? Spiritual father is one who begets. Spiritual father is also one who sets an example. And may the Lord be able to use us in that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example in Scripture here tonight, and one to be mimicked and followed. As Paul said to this church in Corinth, be followers of me. Lord, may it be in our heart as well, to have a desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a follower of examples like Paul as he followed after Christ. Lord, that you'd use us to be mouthpiece and a witness. And Lord, I know that there are many, many, many in this church who are faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ all the time. People are saying, pray for so-and-so, a co-worker of mine, or this person that I've come in contact with, and it's such a blessing. Lord, I pray that we'd all have that mindset and all have the desire to be used of God in that capacity. Father, we do pray for a harvest of souls in this year. Lord, we've sown the seeds and we continue to sow. We desire to be diligent in our calling to be sowing the gospel seeds. But Father, we pray that you would bring in the harvest. Lord, that we'd see people saved, truly converted to the Lord Jesus Christ in this year. Use your people to glorify yourself. Father, may we have people then that we can disciple and teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. Father, we have those that are watching now, though, children, young saints of God. What kind of an example are they seeing? Father, may we have it in our heart to be followers of Jesus Christ and to be an example of the believers in word and in conduct, charity, purity. Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen, challenge, and grow us in Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray.